What's up, you guys? Sean Ross app, Fightful Select. It's the Q&A show. If I sound a little tired, that's because I am a little behind the scenes. I usually film these on Wednesdays. I'll have about an hour gap to where I can film and record and upload these and set them up for Thursday. That ain't happening today. It's been a crazy week. I'm filming this right before I post it. And then we're right back at it with like three interviews that I can't really reveal right now, but they'll be up. You'll see them. It's been a crazy week, but thank you all so much for being here with us. Our numbers have been really, really good lately, and at least on the YouTube side of things, I want to thank you all so much. It means a lot. The more that you share and spread the word, the more we can help create for you within this space. So I thank you so much. Let's go ahead and get into the Q&A. Anakin says, catching up on Fightful shows and you guys popped me when Orton came out wearing pants at TLC. What's the story behind Orton not wearing pants? I mean, I don't know if there's a story. He just doesn't wear pants. He's always in his trunks, like all the time. So it was really funny to us when he was actually wearing pants. Like there's been a lot of times he's come out in shirts and trunks. Very, very unusual. But hey, it turned into an online angle, so whatever. Drew Hall says, Ethan Page versus Karate Man at Hard to Kill next week. Is that a sign that Ethan has re-upped with Impact? No, he isn't. From what I understand, he doesn't intend to either. But they filmed this months ago. They filmed this in November. In your opinion, what is the end game with the Impact Callis Omega storyline? The end game is eventually Hangman and the Dark Order defeating Kenny Omega, and maybe Bullet Club way down the line. I think they should add a little bit to Dark Order, but right now if they got Silver, Reynolds, Page, Uno, and Grayson, that's pretty good. That's an underdog team that you can kind of build against Bucks, Anderson, Gallows, and Omega. I'm really excited for that angle. Matt says, first question, Goldberg? Really? I've said this a few times. I'm not necessarily that upset by this time because I knew that they'd be bringing him back in because he said that he has a contract for two more years and two matches per year. So it's something that I prepared myself for, but I don't think that he should be in the title picture. I don't think that he should be winning titles. If he wants to lose to Drew McIntyre and then never compete for a title again, I'd be very happy. Anakin says, was there anyone in WWE pushing for more of a Brody tribute on Raw? Or was the feeling to let AEW to be the big tribute? Well, I mean, there were people pushing on Raw for sure, but I can't speak to everybody, so I can't say what the feeling was. I wasn't there, but there were people that wanted something more done, and they did do something more, just not on Raw. They should have, though. JP says, since your Bengals are the lone team out, how do you think about how do you think the three AFC North teams will fare this weekend? Go Ravens. I think this is the Browns' year somehow. Ray says, have you heard any updates on the future of the TNT title? Well, this was issued before Dynamite, obviously. But yeah, they changed the color of the title. It's going to operate as normal moving forward. But they retired that version of the title. Ray says, we saw a lot of throwback concepts in 2020 with Halloween Havoc and Bash. Have you heard if anything like that is planned for 2021? I'd love to see something like Cyber Sunday make a return. There is a push for Valentine's Day Massacre. I don't know if it'll happen, but there are people who want it. Ray Callahan says, with WWE pairing Flair, Asuka, Banks, Bianca, Baymella, do you think they're trying to rebuild the women's tag division? Or do you attribute that more to just throwing top stars in matches together? The latter. I think it's throwing top stars in matches together, and that's kind of unfortunate because they do have Riot Squad. They have Mandy and Dana. They have Lacey and Peyton, I guess. Dakota and Raquel, and then, of course, The Way. And the women's tag titles can change brands. So, I mean, it's not like they're bound to the depth of any particular brand. They should be able to go wherever they want because they're the champs. Cameron says, do you think a full heel Moxley could be the absolute piece of shit to make MJF a good guy? Maybe, but I think it's got to be a new person. I think it's got to be a new person that threatens that throne. You've said you've wanted to live in Toronto, but if you worked for Inside the Ropes, would you want to live in Glasgow? Well, no offense to Inside the Ropes. I don't want to work anywhere but Fightful. But no, I wouldn't want to live in Glasgow. I'd want to live in North America. I like it here. As someone who does not watch New Japan, why is the Intercontinental and Heavyweight Championships always on the same guy and not separated? They're defended together right now. They have been for the last year since they did a double gold dash a year ago to promote the night one and night two of Wrestle Kingdom. It was their way of making the stakes higher and higher, and now it's to the point to where they just need to separate them. Paul Moss says, is Ricochet's contract still due to expire in January? I've never heard that it was supposed to expire in January, and if we have any contract information, it's over at FightfulWrestling.com. We have a resources tab, and there are contract expirations there. If we have that info, it's over there. With ROH parting ways with Marty Scurll and his salaries being off the books now, if available, could you see ROH making a run at Ricochet or another upper-tier wrestler that's available? Yes, I could see them making a run at Ricochet if he's available. I don't think he'd go there. Another upper-tier wrestler that's available? Well, it depends on what you mean by that, but yeah. I could see them making a play for it, but I don't know that his salary, quote-unquote, is off the books. When you work for a place like Sinclair Broadcast as a company corporate employee like he was, there are some protections that you have there. So I don't know what kind of pay situation was there. I don't know if he got like a severance. I don't know if he got a settlement. I don't know how exactly that worked. So it's not as easy as just them releasing him and not having to pay him. Paul also asks if WrestleMania is ever going to move to a Saturday format given the success of Wrestle Kingdom into a two-day event. Well, they did last year. I mean, the circumstances will cause almost anything. They already do TakeOver before WrestleMania, so I don't think that it's that unrealistic for them to just be like, you know what, let's do two nights of this. Let's go all weekend. And you could have two WrestleMania main events every single year. Two honest-to-God WrestleMania main events every year. You could make more in tickets, make more in merch, all kinds of stuff. It is a big enough event. They have a big enough roster. And I would just combine NXT TakeOver into that. Matt says, Jay White had an outstanding promo post-Wrestle Kingdom Night 2. If he leaves New Japan, where would you rank him amongst free agents from Japan in the last few years? Well, in the last five, he's behind AJ and Nakamura, behind Omega, and I think up there with the Bucks. So I think he's top five. Darrell says, don't have a question as I haven't been able to watch WWE before the Q&A post. Wanted to say Happy New Year. Well, thank you very much. He says, you made a horrible 2020 great for me as a wrestling fan. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much, Darrell. That was very nice of you. And I also see that you gave a bit of a shout out to Wild Boy. I usually don't do shout outs, but Wild Boy is a special exception all the time. One of the greatest dudes that I've met in wrestling is Wild Boy. And he had a really rough 2022. So if you guys know him, send him lots of love. We think the world of him. Chris Bourdin says, what kind of revenue, if any, does Impact get from having a channel in the Pluto TV app? Not much from what I understand. I mean, it's something, but it's not much. I think the hope there more is that people will catch it and develop into fans there. Chris Bourdin says, did Carmella get new music because of the character change, the CFO situation, or a little of both? It was a little of both from what I understand. They're trying to change all the themes. Many of the wrestlers that I've spoken to, whether or not they end up taking the new music or not, they have a reasonable amount of input on there. Like, I've talked to some people that have flat out rejected new themes because they were really, really bad. They don't want to pay CFOs and their publisher that type of cut anymore. This caused major issues for CFOs. I mean, they've split from what I understand because of the publishing situation around them. Our friend Jobber says, hi, Sean. Second year of a two-night Tokyo Dome. I'm finding this easier to watch than one-hour show. How are you finding this? Will WrestleMania be two nights again? Have a nice day. As of right now, it's planned for one night, WrestleMania. I can tell you that I find it easier to watch the two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. The week was tougher this week. This was one of the five toughest weeks that I've ever had covering wrestling. And the fact that it rolled right out of the Brody Lee stuff made it a little bit tougher because we were emotionally drained as well. But yeah, I find it easier to watch two nights at 3.5-4 hours each than one day of 8 hours, by far. Ronan says, do you predict big defections from WWE to AEW or New Japan in 2021? Yes, I do. I think there will be at least one major name that leaves WWE and goes to AEW this year. As for New Japan, I don't know, because when I talked to New Japan people, they told me that they weren't big on bringing in new Gaijin right now, and that was actually a selling point for some of the contracts, was that they weren't planning on bringing in a lot of Gaijin. So Japanese wrestlers would have those spots a little bit more protected, at least as of right now, until everything gets normal again, if they get normal again. Ronan asks, which of the shakeups was the best? I would say the first one, which is the worst, the most recent one, because they completely ignored it. Reed says, is there any update on what Jazzy Gabbert is doing now? Yet she wasn't quite what WWE or fans thought she was going to be. She's been out of that company for over a year now. She tried to start her own promotion. She wrestled a few months ago in Italy. She's still at it, but wasn't quite what they thought that she was going to be. Reed says, do you think eventually we get a version of an LAX stable in AEW, especially with already having three former members? If I were AEW, that's one of the things I would leverage for, is use of some of the trademarks. That way you could use Santana and Ortiz and somebody else as LAX instead of Proud and Powerful. But I think we'll get something like that. I don't know why they wouldn't do Santana, Ortiz, Diamante, and Ivelisse. That makes a lot of sense to me. I've been pushing for something like that since Ortiz and Santana left Impact. I thought they should have signed Mercedes and done Mercedes, Martinez, Diamante, and Ivelisse in Impact Wrestling if they had the opportunity. Ronan says, would Kevin Kelly have been a better choice for AEW as a weekly play-by-play guy? Maybe using JR on pay-per-views and special occasions. For what AEW wanted to do, I don't think so. For just the work, yeah, Kevin Kelly would have been better. But right now they have Excalibur. He's good. They've got Tony Schiavone. He's good. Jim Ross has been, I think, better now than he has been at any point of his AEW run. And they got Jericho doing whatever it is that Jericho does. In addition to that, they've got Taz, they've got Veda Scott around sometimes. They've got a wealth of announcers right now. It's just a matter of fitting them in the right spots and finding them in the right spots, because that's important. It helps make or break the show, to be quite honest. And yeah, I think Kevin Kelly's really great. I love listening to him on commentary. I think Chris Charlton has developed into a really good commentator. So yeah, there's a lot of them out there right now. Just most of them are signed. Reed says, what are the chances we eventually see Omega versus Ibushi, especially as a heel versus face? I think about 50-50. I think we've got a good chance of seeing it now. 50-50 is a good chance to me. Compared to what it used to be, yeah. Matt says, what would you say the odds are Marty is signed by either New Japan or WWE by the end of the year? I'll go about 25%. I think he's in the Tessa Blanchard boat of where people don't deny that he's got talent and he's got the ability and he could draw, but they don't want to touch that mess, man. That is a big mess to be in. Den says, will WWE ever stop relying on legends so much? Yeah, whenever Vince McMahon isn't in charge, yes. Do you think WWE missed an opportunity to have IRS and Randy Orton interact on Raw? Yes, but I don't think a lot of people that aren't on the internet all the time realize that IRS is Bray's dad. That hasn't been a thing that's like hammered home on WWE television. If it was hammered home on WWE television, I think they would have done it, but it's not, so they didn't. Do you think Bianca or Sonya will have a better 2021 in WWE? Bianca, because I don't know what Sonya's schedule will be. At any given time, the court case could drag her away from WWE TV, so I'm going to go with Bianca Belair. It's clear that they like her, even though they've had her be in three straight matches that she hasn't won. So, yeah. Sean says, are the pay scales in New Japan comparable to WWE? For some people, not most people, although that could be changing. Some of the amounts that I was told that WWE was offering talent aren't necessarily going to blow you out of the water in the wrestling world. Like, AEW could match some of those. Impact isn't. I don't know Ring of Honor, but I'd be surprised. But maybe if you adjust for schedule, they could. But yeah, it is for top people, as far as like top people being compared to like some upper mid card people in WWE, but not in general. Anthony says, do you think Sonya is a dark horse for the Rumble win? Sasha and Sonya could really be good. Yeah, but I think they're coming back to set up her getting eliminated and then being mad at somebody or something like that. I don't think that they would push her to the moon immediately. I wish they would. It would be really, really great. Dev says, what are wrestling moves that look easy you have found are actually difficult to perform? I always hated taking back body drops. I hated it. There's a lot that goes into it. I've got to launch myself up in the air. They've got to launch me up in the air. I've got to do a flip bump there. They've got to make sure they push me backwards. I got to make sure I'm clear of them. That way I don't land on them. I hated doing those. And the reaction was never worth the bump. It's a sucky bump. You can over-rotate and land on your ass, your legs, your hips. Your back is where you're supposed to land. And it's just never worth it for the reaction that we would get out of it because people have seen it for years and years and years. It's not that big of a move. Now, when AJ Styles does it, it's an incredible move. Now, there are just some people that there are certain moves they don't want to take and they don't feel comfortable taking. Triple H told me that the spot where you go into the ring post through the second and third rope was one that he never liked and he never felt comfortable taking and would try to avoid that whenever he could. There were some people that I spoke to that didn't want to take DDTs, like something simple like that. But that's usually because they didn't know how to take it. You can take it a variety of ways. You can take it on the top of your head. You can pancake flat. You can kind of crunch in and take it like a compacted, like with your knees and your body in. You can do the snap where you roll over. There's a whole lot of different ways, but that's something you should probably talk to that person about beforehand. Considering the level of indies that I was working on were so low, I circumvented that process by, I would use a DDT as a finish. I stopped doing that as a finish because I wasn't comfortable with how some people were going to take it. So I started to do the Bobby Roode, the swinging DDT, because that one's easy. You lift yourself up, you face plant. That way I don't have to have the awkward conversation with somebody afterwards when they take a regular DDT like absolute dog shit. Sean says, was the chokeslam through the top of the Hell in a Cell in the Mankind Undertaker match planned? To some degree, that thing was not supposed to break then. It was going to break, it just was not supposed to break then, and that chair fell down on his face. That was not planned at all. Manny says, I've been very impressed with Mandy and Dane as a team lately. Do you see them winning the tag titles soon? Well, WWE does this thing where they're like, well, you'll be good, but it's not your time yet. And by the time it is, it's not their time anymore. I don't think they're going to win the tag titles anytime soon. They're feuding with Shayna right now. But I think the Riot Squad should be next up to win those. But I am very impressed with them. Dana Brooke I've been consistently impressed with for a very long time. Our good friend Sheila says, now that they've shown a promo of Mox basically standing in a New Japan Strong ring, does this mean that Mox will only have one appearance to defend his title against Kenta, or will they use Mox as much as they can, like film a month's worth of shows with him? I don't think they'll film a month's worth of shows. I was surprised that they didn't just do a triple threat match and have Mox not take the pin. I think he'll be one and done. That's my hunch. I don't know what necessarily that means. They're playing it close to the vest, but I think he will lose the title, and that'll be that, and he'll be committed to AEW for the foreseeable future until travel is settled, because the idea was that he could work New Japan, but he could not work New Japan in the United States, and it seems like they're going to have to pivot that, and if you're New Japan, you do kind of bend to make this work. Sheila says, really not looking forward to the Goldberg-McIntyre program. Do you see this as a filler feud for Rumble, or will this go as far as WrestleMania? I think they might carry it and turn it into Keith Lee, Goldberg, Drew McIntyre, but I hope it's a filler feud. How badly will the state of emergency affect New Japan? Will they have to postpone shows or pause again like they did last year? I could see them maybe having to pause, but I can't pretend to understand the landscape over there as well as other people. But yeah, I don't think that it will affect them as much yet. They'll just record in private, maybe, which isn't that much of a change. But at the worst, I think they'll probably have to pause, which would suck. It definitely would suck. Charlie says, with the weather changing, do you see AEW going to an indoor venue? I know it's Florida, but it's come up in a couple of podcasts. Yeah, it is getting chilly out there. I see them moving south, probably, instead of an indoor venue. Or maybe an indoor venue south. I don't know. Zach says, does liking videos exclusively to select, like, Sour Graps or Retro Reviews help out the YouTube numbers at all? Negligible amounts. Negligibles. But not a ton. Our friend Zach also says, do you think 2021 can be the year a superstar can break out of the mold finally? Not if Vince is around. Not if Vince is around. No matter what, I think the highest that they'll get if Vince is there is what Becky Lynch did. Brian says, what's the thing that most gets you most excited about Select coming off Patreon? It being done, for one. It finally being done. The thing that I would like the most is the fact that if you all subscribe on like the 12th, you won't get billed again until the 12th. I think it's dog shit how you can subscribe on the 30th and get billed again on the 1st. I don't like that. It's not right. It's more lucrative for us, maybe, I think, or maybe it prevents people from signing up. I don't necessarily know, but I think that that's just bad business, and it's something that we don't like, and we want to move it over, and hopefully sooner than later it's done. That's why I told Jimmy not to say January 2021. Brian says, where do you see the top of the New Japan card going, with possibly Naito and Tanahashi being closer to the end of their careers? Sonata, Evil, Ibushi, White, Okada, Ospreay, any you think might come up? Well, I don't know what you mean. If you mean like contracts, or if you mean like feuds. Because if it's feuds, you know we're going to Ibushi and Sonata. Switchblade is already feuded with everyone under the sun. I think if Switchblade left New Japan, he'd probably go to AEW. If you mean leaving the company, Jay White's the only one I could see. If his contract is what they say it is. Nathan says, I have a gut feeling they will have Drew versus Goldberg at the Rumble and a rematch at Mania. That way they can use up two of his contracted matches. I hope not for Drew's safety. I hope not in general. Goldberg should be there to be an attraction, not compete for the top title. If they want him to face Orton or Baron Corbin or Dolph Ziggler or somebody who is not in the title picture, that's how he is best used. They want to see the spear. They want to see the jackhammer. That's it. They don't need to see him hold a belt above his head. We've seen it twice. I'm good. Manuel says, what do you think was the better commentary team, Boss and Morrow or Rogan and Goldberg? Oh, Boss and Morrow by a country mile, bro. Sean asks if I think Drew will beat Goldberg at the Rumble. Yes, I do. I do think he will. And if I don't, do I think that Goldberg will face Roman at Mania? I don't think he'll face Roman at Mania. Kevin Seat said, Seidel mentioned Cena on Road 2 this week. Would be great to get the Strong Hearts back. Has OWE been running shows during this? Yeah, they ran some Strong Hearts action shows between roughly March and September, but I don't think they've done anything since. But Cena, Lindemann, and T-Hawk are over there. They're off the ROH roster page, by the way, and I asked Tony Khan about it and haven't heard back, so I imagine it's not something that they necessarily want out there heavily. Kevin Seat says, I know this is a jam week, but any plans to check out the Nightmare Factory showcase? Unfortunately not. I've got zero plans to do that. Dev says, do you think a Queen of the Ring style tournament will work better as a long-term storyline to build a big match at a pay-per-view, or as a standalone network special? I think, Dev, with the amount of content that they have, I think it'd be better to work as a long-term storyline, because they could have matches on these weekly TV shows that are more important. That way, if you're doing Dana Brooke versus Lacey Evans on an episode of Raw, cold, instead of it being just a cold match, that's not going to lead to a future feud. We're not talking Savio Vega, Steve Austin in January 96 here. Instead, it's the first round of this women's tournament. And it's like, make it a 32-woman tournament across multiple brands. And then, like, since you've got the three brands, set it up to where the finals are like a triple threat match. Something like that. Like, you have one representative from Raw, one from SmackDown, one from NXT. I think that's a great way to do it. And then every single week, people compete for Queen of the Ring. This is one of those things where I say, they've used storylines for men for years and years and years. Nobody really gave a shit about Baron Corbin as King of the Ring. He had a great run and great matches, but nobody really gave a shit about him as King of the Ring. Let somebody be Queen of the Ring. Let Charlotte take that personally, that she calls herself the Queen, but she's not Queen of the Ring. I would really, really like that. But yeah, I think it's better for weekly TV. I'd do like a 30-woman tournament. I would do like maybe, and then end with a representative from each brand. If you could do it with NXT UK, then maybe make it like a Fatal 4-Way final. I think that'd be really, really cool. And it would give people something a little bit different. And it would give us something to care about. Dole says, do you see WWE going in a better direction after Vince finally steps away? Yes, of course. He is not equipped to run a company, a wrestling company, that is supposed to appeal to a younger demographic anymore. He is 75 years old. 75 years old. And by the time he leaves, the people that succeed him might not be in that position as properly anymore. Triple H is 51. My God. He's 51. Now, granted, Vince was 51 in, 96. So he had a pretty good run there for about 6 years. But I think really since 2003, Vince McMahon has not reflected his audience very well. And I mean, we're talking like 17, 18 years. So well into his late 50s, he wasn't reflecting the best interest of the audience, I don't think. Dev says, do you have any insight on how the Royal Rumble matches are put together? Boy, do I. I'm glad you asked that. I would love to give it away on this podcast, but it's a much longer answer. How about an 8,000-word answer? I'm dropping Inside the Royal Rumble in a couple weeks. I'm hoping to put together a video on it, too. But I've got a big, big video dropping about the Royal, or a big article, rather, and hopefully a video about how Rumble matches are put together. And I'll have select scoops on it, too. So as I find out stuff, like I found out people who almost were in the Royal Rumbles last year and weren't. So I'm very excited for that. Sorry I can't give you a specific answer, Dev, but I will. Any news on WWE's plans for Sonya Deville, asks Wrestle Jake. No, I don't have any idea because most of those people didn't even know that she was going to be there last Friday. Do you see the women's tag titles becoming NXT exclusive after the Women's Dusty Classic? No, I think they will remain a floating title and give them some luxury there and benefit of what they can really do and some flexibility in that division, as they should. Bryant Heath says, why does AEW try so hard to cut off the mic after someone swears? They don't try to cut off the mic, and it's not AEW. It's not them cutting off the mic. It's them just trying to censor the curse word, because you gotta if you can try for the sake of your audience. Do you think AEW could do a Blood and Guts now that there are some fans in attendance? I think they could. I think they're waiting until fans. That was always the play, was they were waiting on fans before they did anything like that. And Bryant wraps us up by saying, it's not much of a question. Wanted to thank you guys for all the smiles you brought me. The tail end of 2020 was crap, and you guys really brought me a lot of happiness during that time, so thank you. Well, thank you. I mean, 2020 was not wonderful for any of us, but fortunately, we all had each other, and that was important. And I'm dumb because that was not the last question. TK Oh Boy says, any chance the Impact AEW relationship could lead to future Impact tapings at Daly's place? That was some speculation within the companies, but now that it's a little cold, I don't think so. I think the people that work in Impact seem to be happy with where they work it as opposed to cold nights at Daly's Place, unless they do it like on warm afternoons. But how can you plan that? You've got to set up travel and logistics and all that. Who do you think is the right person to eventually dethrone Omega? And your pick is Hangman. My pick is Hangman. I think he's the best possible person. I think the story is there. It's the long play. It's subtle stuff, and it's stewing right now, and then it's going to explode, and it's going to be great. With Goldberg facing Drew McIntyre and hopefully losing, I would think that Reigns versus Goldberg is off the table for Mania. Who do you think Reigns would fight otherwise, Bryan or Big E? I think Bryan. I think that Drew versus somebody else, I don't know who, probably Keith Lee, maybe Lesnar. Reigns, Bryan, and Big E Goldberg would be fun. If they want Goldberg in the Intercontinental title match and he puts over Big E, sign me up, because that's a dream match for Big E. Guys, thank you all so much. I really appreciate you guys. We're out.